And your COVID-19 vaccine. You're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus, but the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Hey, July 11th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. Second show today, we had a great interview with Robert Inlakesh this morning about Israel and foreign policy and what's going on with Palestine and the complete complicity of our governments in the West, allowing this to continue. Great show today, or that we with Robert and I's discussion. I can't recommend enough you listen to some of the amazing points he made in that discussion and how relevant it is to the bigger picture. But we're going to talk about just one real thing. Well, technically two things, but one main topic, and that's going to be the variant discussion. And this probably won't be that long of a show today, but maybe we'll see. Probably not. But it is a very relevant conversation right now. Not just about the variants themselves and whether they're dangerous, because I think it's pretty clear that that's not defined. We don't have the evidence for that. It's all hypothetical, possible, could be, maybe. And we've gone through all the evidence there. It could be. It doesn't seem to be based on all the evidence and all the experts saying that highly unlikely, very rarely is. That's why I think it was Michael Yeadon called them samients, because they're basically exactly the same minor differences. The point being, it's not that discussion necessarily. It's about whether or not the vaccine being forced on everybody is in fact the catalyst for what's creating these things. And better yet, whether or not they're even there. Now, the real focus is going to be on specifically whether the vaccine can cause these kind of mutations, right? Because this is the important conversation to be objective and really just look. And by the way, even if we do prove that, that doesn't then therefore prove that this is being caused by vaccines, but it does create quite an interesting conversation because right now that's absolutely ridiculous. Fake news. Only thing causing it is all you dirty unvaxxers out there, dirty anti-vaxxers out there that aren't doing what you're supposed to, right? That's what's causing it, except that doesn't really make sense. Not with the scientific research before this and not really with common sense now, and well as plenty of other experts that are laughing about how ridiculous that is. But we're going to go through the scientific research about this topic from before COVID-19 and find out what they were saying then. And let's see how relevant that is today. We will also talk about the emergency use authorization because we're a few days away from the renewal of this every 90 day renewal of the emergency that doesn't really exist. And that's going to be driven in again in July 14th. And we're going to show you that briefly at the end. So you understand. And the point being that why they connect is because they are using the fear of these things that aren't really none of this really should be as you should not be as fearful of any of this as they're telling you should be, but specifically the variant conversation. They're creating more fear and hype around this to drive the necessity for the emergency to continue. And it should be very clear that these things can ebb and flow along with the need that's going to arise in a few days. Suddenly it's all breaking out. We have new variants left and right. And there's the Epsilon variant. You probably haven't even heard of that yet. Write down the Greek alphabet, just like they told you they would, because they somehow knew this was going to happen. But let's jump right into it with a couple of points to start off. Oops, I do that far too often. We'll get to that in 2 seconds. But just to show you, we have Robert Inlakesh's interview here. I really, really recommend that you take a listen to this. And this is a direct quote from a United Nations human rights expert. Israeli settlements do amount to a war crime. Yeah, but that's racist fake news, apparently, if you listen to anybody in the mainstream media today. Even Republican in the two-party illusion mainstream media that's not really media at all. They don't care about the reality. The reality that the United Nations, Geneva Conventions, international law has pretty much always been on the same page here. You get yelled at by very powerful states and different political agendas and people get confused. Why are they being ignored if the people who really the international community, the United Nations experts are saying that they are, right? It's just, like I said in the interview, this is as ridiculous as somebody like Nils Meldner the UN rapporteur on torture, like the guy on torture who says Julian Assange is being tortured, and they just don't care. Nobody even talks about it. In fact, he says, hey, US, UK governments, you are obligated because of the UN Charter to respond. So what's happening? And they just don't respond because clearly they care about the UN Charter, right? It's ridiculous. The point is, these are the criminals, and it's time to start paying attention to the actual crimes being committed, not political talking points. And here's just another point on that that Sarah Abdallah is sharing. U.S.-funded genocide in occupied Palestine continues. From Obama to Trump to Biden, it just goes round and round and round. Israeli forces fired on Palestinian protests. They're protesting the illegal outpost that's being occupied in the West Bank. You understand, an Israeli court ruled it was illegal. These people are protesting that illegal occupation, and the Israeli forces still fire on the Palestinians. Let's not be confused about what's happening here. This is oppression because they are not the right people. Period. 370 plus protesters were injured, including 31 by live ammunition, because you normally open live fire on protesters, right? That are throwing rocks, you know, or however you want to say this is going. Typical. It sounds exactly like the U.S. government does in other foreign countries. Classic. But this is ongoing. And remember, just in case you forgot, the Geneva Conventions, the UN, they've always maintained that people in occupied territories, which they all say is Palestine, have the right to armed rebellion. Period. That's what this is. Whether with rocks, with sticks, with guns, they have the legal right to armed rebellion. Israel's government has no such right. That's the fact. But politics, you know. Now, on another interesting note, before we jump into COVID-19, Haiti suspects say they meant to arrest, not kill the president. Interesting how this is slowly turning into exactly what we thought it would be. And this is now they're basically telling you, look, we weren't there to hurt anybody, except they clearly assassinated this guy. And guess what? They were there at the behest of somebody, right? Who would they be arresting somebody for? Well, Mint Press News had a great article I recommend you read today. Suspected assassins of Haitian president trained by the United States. Well, that's unusual. Absolutely not at all. Usually, I think I did say this, in fact, in my opinion, and here we are. It's not shocking to see this reality because this is typically the governments that are doing these things around the world, linked to pro-coup oligarchy. Shocking, right? I know. And now, of course, what we're seeing here, in my opinion, and I'm sure this will flesh out more, is that we are seeing another effort by the U.S. government and others with them, likely the Israeli government, continuing to exert their will over places like this. And this was an attempt to take further control over the situation that we just showed you was literally standing against their effort to bring in COVID-19 vaccinations. It's not a secret. Do I know that's what happened? No. Could it be a reason why this might have happened? Yes. The point being, he's now dead. Now things are shifting. Of course, the new interim government was very quick to say, hey, U.S. government, come in, help us, bring troops. And of course, now the U.S. government is publicly saying, no, we're not going to do that. And clearly, I bet you it happens very quietly right after that. But nonetheless, it's all going in the same direction. The point is just to pay attention. This is not an exception. I guess you can't really highlight the one part of it. I'm trying to highlight the trained by the U.S. part. That's not an exception, guys. That's typically the rule. This is what you will find. And that's why when I say that I think this is the case, but it's my opinion and it turns out to be right, I'm not psychic. It's because I'm paying attention. You're looking at past efforts by the same people doing the same things over and over and screaming politics and two-party illusion nonsense. Over to censorship. Kevin McKiernan on his LinkedIn page is sharing our article, The Last American Vagabond, an excellent interview with Dr. Peter McCullough with Taylor Hudak conducting the interview. He posts this, and here's what he says in the post. The reduction in cycle threshold from the chosen herd therapy is only two cycles, cycle thresholds. We call that noise in genomics, not sterilizing, narrow antibody response, basically just calling out their lies. Ivermectin is cheaper and better, and this post will more than likely get censored. A interviewer who, by the way, if you guys watch Taylor's interviews, outstanding interviewer, but much different in the style than me. Very, very clearly just trying to pull all the important information out of the interviewee, right? I tend to insert my opinions because that's just how I am. The point being, of all interviews to censor, an expert speaking about his expertise and an interviewer coaxing that expertise out, that's censored? Yes. On LinkedIn, of all places, a paid professional engagement. This is pathetic. It's ridiculous. And point being, it was censored. And here's what it says. Only you can see this post. It's been removed because it goes against our professional community policies. Yeah, LinkedIn. Great. That's why I'm glad that Malone, even though they gave him this channel back, Dr. Malone, is saying he's going to go away because this is still happening. Obviously. Because they're cowards and they're terrified to stand up for what they know is the truth based on the expertise and the experts that are espousing that truth. They are going along with the narrative, government, and politics because they're cowards. It blows me away that it's this obvious, but people are paying attention on censorship in general. I just thought you guys would get a kick out of my little poke in the eye of today. I don't know why I felt like doing this, but I just said, hey, YouTube, how you liking them TLAV pirate streams? And it's also the point for me to say, hey, in case you didn't know, we are right now using what we're calling TLAV pirate streams. If you're watching on YouTube, the question is why? Why the hell are you still there? Go to Super U, go to Odyssey, go to Rockfin, go to any number of the platforms that are way, way, way better. And that's not even my opinion today, right? It used to be where, you know, I say that because screw YouTube, but they've literally broken themselves to be able to censor us. Corbett points this out. I mean, you want a perfect example of that? Here is exactly what I'm talking about. This is hilarious. I didn't plan on talking about this today. This is the pirate channel that we're using today. Hopefully you're not watching there. There's literally two live streams going on. You know why? I don't even know that's possible, because we have actually ended this other live stream, right? Obviously, because we're currently live on a different stream, and yet they somehow magically keep it going. Isn't it weird? Oh, weird. An error occurred. Oh, weird. It's looping at the end of the video. Just so we're all clear, this is not supposed to happen. They're telling you that I'm live. They're looping the video at the end indefinitely forever, so you can't watch it. So you can't go back and watch it from the beginning unless you want to scroll this all the way to the beginning. Nobody does that. This is, one, a suppression tactic. Two, a way to keep this video streaming indefinitely, as other people have pointed out, and then delete it because it goes on too long. That's already happened as well. This is childish, petty suppression and censorship. I just find it hilarious. Now, enough on YouTube, because who cares about YouTube? But I just think it's hilarious to show you in real time. How is that even possible? Cracking me up. But going back to this, we're on TLAV Pirate Streams, and we're using TLAV Pirate Streams as a way to punch the data, the information through into their very censored, controlled information flow, which they probably can't stand, which is, we've already gotten about 20 other channels deleted and censored across this process. And these are only people that want to reach out and help us do this. So if you're interested and you have an old YouTube channel you don't care about, or you want to help poke a YouTube in the eye for their censorship, reach out to me. All you got to do is send me your credentials to log in. We'll connect. We'll go through a security check that they think they're trying to make sure I can't do. And then we'll stream on your channel next time, just like right now. And it will probably get deleted. As long as you don't care about that, reach out to me, Ryan, @thelastamericanvagabond.com. Hey, YouTube, how you liking them TLAV pirate streams? I thought I wasn't allowed to use your platform anymore. Yet somehow my videos keep ending up on the live streams and video on demand on your platform. What's going on? Are you guys no longer in control? YouTube is broken. The point is, they're breaking themselves to try to stop things like this, which is whatever this is right here. Fantastic. But also, YouTube just got fined €100,000 by a high regional court in Germany. Why? For deleting and censoring a video covering a simple protest about lockdowns. Because they're a horrible, cowardly censoring platform that only wants to do what politics deem correct, not what's actually correct for you. They're called ThemTube, right? It's not just YouTube, though, guys. It's a lot of other platforms. The point is to show you that this is not stopping. This is getting more intense because they're more terrified of the truth. They will keep going. They won't stop. Now, one last point to bring this over into the COVID-19 part. This is alarming how aggressive this is. This is just as aggressive as the push to get people injected that don't need it. This is Klaus Schwab. Take a listen to what he says.
Sufficient. We need vaccines to immunize ourselves. The same is true for cyber attacks. Here too, we have to move from simple protection to immunization. We need to build IT infrastructure.
So the bottom line, what he just said, in case the volume's too low, he's literally saying immunize the internet, right? That's not even a good analogy. Like, there's this crossover they're trying to really shoehorn in, just jam that square peg into the round hole, because they really want that to be connected. Now, why exactly? Well, I've theorized a lot about that. I genuinely believe this is going to cross over into an actual cyber attack, actual pandemic scenario, some sort of an attack on vaccine infrastructure, or an attack on a BSL-4 lab they claim Iran did. No, my God, there's another pandemic, or however that goes. That's just my guess. I'm basing that just on my feeling and the way they're talking about this and the way we've already seen their, oh my God, vaccine infrastructure was just a cyber attack. That already happened. Nonetheless, as I said, it should be very alarming and very obvious to everyone that this strange obsession coming from this Bond villain in front of you and everyone else supporting this effort with forcing the parallel between the pandemic, in quotes, and what they claim are the coming cyber attacks, which they literally call the cyber pandemic, is about forcing in a very specific perception and narrative. Very important, guys. This is about controlling the way you see the way what they, in my opinion, are about to create. Now, on the topic of vaccines, just so we're very clear about how this continues to go, this is not moving, guys. This is at 48.2%. Now, it's barely going up. Let's see if it even gone up since this morning. Nope, 42. Now, ask yourself this. If this was happening everywhere around the country, with vaccine pop-up clinics and coercion and people being forced in, they can't have jobs, you can't, here's free ice cream, here's a free beer. Oh, I mean, everything you could imagine. Here's money. Here's a chance to win $1 million. And this is all happening. And that was happening today, every day, right? They're telling you this is constant. Right now, in this very moment, there are people, they're telling you, getting injected everywhere. The country's getting together. Okay? So that literally means that across one day, you would see an increase. You would see that percentage go up. You would. How about over the week? Well, you're not really, though. I've seen this gone up maybe 0.2% over the last week, if that. The real point is, again, you are the majority, guys. You are the majority. People who are not vaccinated, whatever your opinion on that is, that's the majority. So let's make sure we factor that into our politics and our illusion of, you know, majority politics, Democratic politics. Clearly, that's not what's happening right now. 48.2%. And it's staying there pretty stagnantly. Now, also recognize this interesting number. Only 11.9% of the entire population of the world is injected. So this whole aggressive push that we need to literally vaccinate everybody on the planet until otherwise this won't end, which is actually what even American politicians have been saying, should scare the hell out of you, seeing as how we're very far away from that. And that would seem to suggest this is never really going to stop until they get what they want, which has always really been the point. So just make sure you understand that you are the majority right now. Don't let them push that idea that you're this fringe crazy group that's keeping everybody in danger. Now, this brings us to the argument that they're claiming that the unvaccinated are the reason that variants are being created. Now, of course, to the people that somebody who doesn't really understand anything about these topics, right? I'm not an expert, but I do a lot of research on this, and I have, especially since this started and long before this. Those that have watched and followed T-Lab long before this have known that I've been very passionate about health-focused topics for a long time. So people who aren't really immersed in these topics might be like, well, that, I guess that makes sense because, right, they're the ones that are allowing, especially if you take their lie, their completely false narrative at face value, which is this thing protects everybody safe and effective and no blah, 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 right? You take this and you're good. You're safe. You're in the safe corner. And only the people over here are the ones causing all the chaos, right? That's really simple and easy to digest, but it's wildly ridiculous and false. Because the reality is, especially based on the science we're about to get into, even when you really just take common sense, as which we told you before, you have a virus that is interacting with the human body. Now, they're telling you that the simple interaction with the body is what causes these things to mutate. Now, there's level of truth to that because over a very long period of time, which is, remember, what they said in the beginning, Fauci and them yelling, oh, it takes a long time for these things to mutate. Now, when it suits their narrative, it's, oh, it happens right out because of unvaccinated. The point is that it can't take a very long time, but it's simply entering the body with not much resistance at all, your immune system. And it works its way through your body. Now, a person who's vaccinated, well, there's a barrier there. There's something that has to change itself to work around. Now, this is just my common sense, but you'll see how exactly that common sense aligns with the scientific research from before this all started. Now, starting off, this is something I saw on, this was today, in fact. This person, and in no way am I trying to diminish the fact that her son, yes, her son is in the hospital. It's sad. It's sad to me even more than anything else because this is a person who is deceived by their government who is doing this regardless of what's happening. It says, my son, fully vaxxed and healthy, just contracted the COVID Delta variant. He is not doing well, presently in the hospital. It's very sad. Get vaxxed and wear a mask, people. This S is not stopping anytime soon. Well, I certainly agree with that last part. Except that I don't really understand how that even makes sense, except if you blindly buy the narrative, right? That he did what he was supposed to, but it didn't work at all because that guy across the world didn't do what he was supposed to. So her son suffered because those people over there aren't doing the vaccine. So mine just didn't work. Yeah, that lines up a lot, right? Especially seeing as how we have half the country. But anyway, what I said was, so he's fully vaxxed and still got it, showing that this injection didn't work. That's a very clear statement. And yet you tell people to get it anyway, despite the dangers, and to wear a mask with serious health effects that has no statistically significant effect on transmission. But I'm crazy. Okay, got it. Just making sure we're clear on that, right? Who's actually losing? I mean, it's very obvious the information around these topics. I've gone through all of it. People just have very opinionated political stances. Now, and I've got, if you really are interested in all the information and the shows, as always, all this stuff is listed below the article information, all the source material, all the different scientific research we've done. And there's a couple points on masks, even throughout this show. But next one saying, this person follows up by saying, unvaccinated people are petri dishes for corona to mutate into new strains that can potentially affect vaccinated people. That is why we need everyone who can be vaccinated to get the vaccine. People who refuse to get it endanger everyone, even the vaccinated. This is just irrationally ridiculous. That doesn't make sense. Like, if this was the case, every single thing we've done before now doesn't add up. Like, it's just patently ridiculous. What they're claiming is that the normal process of just a virus coming into a body without any block, without, you know, just not just happening, is somehow this petri dish of mutation that causes these things to potentially affect other people with the vaccine. That doesn't even line up with the flu narrative. If that's the case, how is it happening that the flu mutates literally every single year when they're saying most people are getting vaccinated? Which, by the way, that's a different discussion, but that's their argument. And then ask yourself how it makes sense that let's say you're causing it to mutate. You're telling me that the process of between the time frame between when this person just got injected 2 weeks later, so they're fully vaccinated, whatever, they're safe in their mind. I don't do it. Right. So somehow in that process of a few weeks, this thing comes into my body. Right. And then somehow mutates, which is ridiculous to pretend that it suddenly after one person changes. This is a process, you understand, but see, this is how the simplified version goes. It goes into my body, it changes, and then suddenly this person right over here just got injected with this thing. Weeks later is somehow now at risk from the thing he just got protected against because it left my body? That is simply ridiculous, and if you, any scientist that has any honesty will be laughing at how dumb that is. And it says, do you have a link to a verifiable source that can show this to be the fact? Thank you. Somebody exactly. How about we just don't repeat what people say and we actually look at the source material? But here we are, and this is, we can see where it comes from. Oh, well, it's just common sense, really. If I catch a cold, my body mutates the bug, which, by the way, is not actually like this. Is if you want to get into the very, very small specifics of whether this thing can change every single time across your body, this is something like Dr. Michael Yeadon would talk about, where these things do change in the even just in the variant discussion, but such a small degree that it's almost always, it's almost never something that's even worth discussion. It's basically the same thing. That's why he calls them samians. So for this person to literally argue that one pass through one person's body changes it to where it can kill everybody again is just unscientific. But it says, I then pass it on, but with a different profile. That's why colds are impossible to cure. Oh, is that why? Oh, that must be why. Or they just don't. That's so, so silly. But remember that the cold is a coronavirus as well. But the point being, this is what the narrative is. This is what people are saying. Well, why don't we look at the actual scientific research? Well, first, let's start with an article written about that, and we'll get into a couple different scientific studies. This is from, shocker, before COVID-19, 2018. So very reasonably close. Here's what the article says. Vaccines are pushing pathogens to evolve. Weird. I don't see a question mark there. Do you? Well, it's because they're pretty clear about this. This was an obvious discussion that was very real, that was not really about if, it was about how much. Isn't that funny how it can be so clear at a point before all this, but now because there's a political narrative around it, everyone just forgets this reality, even though this is right here to be found. But this is kind of why I talk about the way that censorship is controlling things, the flow of information. Sure, this is there, but it takes a lot of effort to find this. It's not the first thing. If you type in anything, and I should have just shown you my whole walkthrough, it was painful to find this stuff. You have to search, you have to post data, you have to search only in areas before 2019, right? You can custom search. Then you have to search down a bunch of profiles because they don't want you to think this stuff, on and on and on. Point being, here's what they actually say. Reed, his name is Andrew Reed, So one of the scientists involved with this research from the Pennsylvania State University and a couple of different people involved, the Center for Infectious Disease Dynamics, like these are experts, guys. Reed and his colleagues are studying how the herpes virus, again, very odd how the herpes virus is continually popping up in this conversation, that causes Marek's disease, a highly contagious, paralyzing, and ultimately deadly ailment that costs the chicken industry more than $2 billion a year, might be evolving in response to its vaccine. Now, obviously, Marek's is not COVID-19, but let's be adults about this and realize that there is the concept about how we do animal trials. There's a reason for that, because it does translate over into the human discussion. But we also have more we'll talk about next. It's more of a broad study about how just vaccines do this to pathogens. So it's just jumping ahead to make sure you're aware of that. Like, this is more than just one thing, okay? But what they're telling you here is they did this study specifically on the vaccines they give for the Marek's disease and whether or not that vaccine was causing these things to do the opposite of what they were designed to do. In fact, making it worse. Interesting. And how that's a process that applies scientifically to not just this one injection. You'll see why. Reed and others, including researchers at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, posit. So this is your government telling you they think that the virus that causes Marek's has been changing over time in ways that helped it evade its previous vaccines. The big question is whether the vaccines directly incited these changes or the evolution happened coincidentally for other reasons. But Reed is pretty sure the vaccines have played a role. In a 2015 paper, the PLOS Biology, which is what we'll look at next, Reed and his colleagues vaccinated 100 chickens, leaving 100 others unvaccinated. So you have 100 chickens that are vaccinated with the one they're supposed to get to protect them against the Marek's disease. The others, nothing, or at least not the vaccine. They then infected all the birds with strains of Marek's that varied in how virulent, as in how dangerous and infectious they were. Now, the team found that over the course of their lives, so this is interesting, a long-term study, they absolutely need to do long-term studies on these things, not just a month or two, and then call that long COVID, which we'll get into in a second too. Actually long-term, because if you look at the process of their lives and what they say next, it's clear these things actually play a larger, longer role. It says the team found that over the course of their lives, the unvaccinated birds shed far more of the least virulent strains into the environment. So the argument being that they put out the lesser dangerous ones, which would seem to change it the other direction. But it says, whereas the vaccinated birds shed far more of the most virulent strains. That's pretty obvious. So you're telling me that they got vaccinated against the thing, but that the vaccine is what caused this thing to shed the virulent dangerous strains. Now it says the findings suggest that Marek's vaccine encourages more dangerous viruses to proliferate. I mean, right there alone is more than enough to have an honest conversation with, if there was actually honest people in the sphere of mainstream. This would be more than enough to have an honest conversation about this topic. It's obvious that there's some merit here, that these injections are very obviously capable, and I'm just saying injections in a broad sense, of causing of something, Marek's disease or whatever, or COVID-19 or the flu, to change itself. Right? Because that's what makes sense here. And that's what they're actually getting into in the study, which I'll show next. So this thing is creating the reason for the virus to mutate itself to get around the injection. Which, by the way, that is what's common sense. It says this increased virulence might then give the viruses its means to overcome birds' vaccine primed immune responses and sicken vaccinated flocks. Well, what do you know? Right. So the people who are causing the vaccinated people to get sick again, if that's actually what's happening here, which I'm not even saying, I'm just saying we're within this argument, are the vaccinated people. In this specific case, these vaccinated chickens are the ones that spread this and cause the other vaccinated flocks to then get sick. The unvaccinated ones were the ones that were simply shedding the least amount. I find that very interesting. I understand that doesn't mean that the unvaccinated ones couldn't then get sick from the more virulent strains being spit out by the vaccinated. Right? That's pretty telling and very relevant to where we are right now. Now it says, a recent research suggests, however, that some pathogen populations are adapting in ways. Now here we get into the broad conversation, not just Marek's and chickens, that some pathogen populations are adapting in ways that help them survive a vaccinated world. and that these changes come about in a variety of ways. Just as the mammal population exploded after dinosaurs went extinct because of a big niche opening up for them, some microbes have swept in to take the place of competitors eliminated by vaccines. So that's kind of a different point, but it's very relevant, right? We have the antibiotic discussion, which they go over in this article as well, right? We all know that we're overusing antibiotics in a lot of different ways, medically specifically, which, by the way, is creating antibiotic resistant pathogens. This conversation's been around for a decade. They don't seem to stop or care, which seems clearly because they don't care about what could be created, or maybe they just hope they can use that later. The point being, it's an obvious reality that when you do this, it creates the justification for these things to find a way around it. That is what mutates these things in an expedited fashion. So what they're telling you is just like the mammal population grew after the dinosaurs disappeared. Well, now that you're doing this in the same way, in the same kind of analogy way, you're creating the reason for these things to thrive. I mean, it's very interesting to me. Now, again, this doesn't prove that these things are being caused today, but it shows you very clearly, just like with the lab leak discussion or whatever else, that these people are ignoring the reality, whether or not they think it's true, because they're told to, because that is the direction, right? So lab leak is confirmed, debunked, crazy conspiracy theory until they go, okay, now you can talk about it. And they go, oh, well, now it seems legitimate. Nothing changed. And no, I'm not even saying that's a valid, there's far more to that topic than just a lab leak theory. That's a clear couched point that's meant to hide the bigger picture. But it shows you how clear they are. I actually have this over here for this popped up. I wasn't even going to get into it today. Just scientists are demolishing the conspiracy theory of the origins. This just came out. Like, we just talked about this, where the British Medical Journal is pointing out how ridiculous it is that they all claimed it was fake despite the evidence because of a narrative, because they were afraid for their jobs, and now they just keep going. Fake news, because we don't care about the British Medical Journal. It's crazy how obvious this is, right? They are actively doing this, and this is what we're seeing today. Now, it says immunization is also making once rare or non-existent genetic variants of pathogens more prevalent. Presumably because vaccine-primed antibodies can't as easily recognize and attack shapeshifters that look different from vaccine strains. This is not specific about chickens or merricks. This is general. Immunization, in general, is making once rare or non-existent genetic variants of pathogens more prevalent. Well, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Presumably because vaccine-primed antibodies can't as easily recognize. Like this, it doesn't matter. It does, but generally speaking, it doesn't matter. We're just showing you that the vaccines can do this. And the media just shouts it down because fake news. Are they even looking into this? This is all there for them to find. Evolutionary biologists aren't surprised that this is happening. Okay, so now we have, this is just a casual conversation. We're not surprised. We've been calling it forever. Now it's fake news. That makes sense. A vaccine is a novel selection pressure. Wait, it says a vaccine is a novel selection pressure placed on a pathogen. And if the vaccine does not eradicate its target completely, then the remaining pathogens with the greatest fitness, able to survive, will become more common. Think about what that's saying. It says, quote, if you don't have these pathogens evolving in response to vaccines, then we really don't understand natural selection. That's Paul Ewald, an evolutionary biologist at the University of Louisville. He's telling you that if you don't understand that vaccines are causing this or that they can evolve these vaccines, then you don't understand natural selection. But what he's telling you there, or what this paragraph is saying, that basically, if the vaccine doesn't remove it, which that's what's happening today, we're watching that happen. People are just reducing their symptoms, keeping it, still able to spread it within the narrative, understand? That means that these things get worse, right? So the point would be, that's what vaccine technology up until now, at least the argument ostensibly, was to kill it, to stop the transmission. That was the whole point. We all know that, because that's what you're stopping, the spread, the mutation. But if you create something that only lessens it, but keeps it going, keeps it something to work around, well, we just showed you the reality that they're creating things that are more virulent. You're shedding the ones that are more problematic. Because it's still in your body. Those able to survive will become more common. Now it says down here, vaccine failures caused by vaccine-induced evolution are different. These drops in vaccine effectiveness are incited by changes in pathogen populations that the vaccines themselves directly cause. Well, that's also very clear, isn't it? So right now when they're screaming about how the Israeli government says, oh, it's 64% effective now because of the Delta variant. Well, they're telling you. Vaccine failures caused by vaccine-induced evolution are different. Those are caused directly by the injection. That's what it's saying right there. These are experts telling you that. Plenty more in here that you should read. This is an interesting article. But jumping over into the actual scientific research, imperfect vaccination, that is really important to this topic. That's what we're dealing with. By the way, this is a peer-reviewed study from July 2015. Right, the ones they're telling that you should blindly trust this according to the mainstream media, which I disagree with. Should consider it. It's like any science. But because it's peer reviewed, they tell you, oh, well, yeah, it's true. It's the science. Well, unless they don't like it. Imperfect vaccination can enhance the transmission of highly virulent pathogens. This is, I mean, that's the title says exactly what they're claiming is fake news. It's just so stupid. But the point here is their finding is that imperfect vaccination that doesn't actually kill it. It actually just kind of stifles it, but keeps it going is the exact problem. Now think about how interesting that is. Everything we've been saying from the very beginning of this is that it seems that their choices, whether by incompetence or direction or intention, are leading to more problems. They're causing the sickness. They're causing the spread. They're causing the death. Ventilators to masks to everything else. It's all led in the direction of more illness that seems to be categorized as COVID-19. Which, by the way, I do think is what's happening with these side effects of these injections. They're also being labeled COVID and long COVID, and it goes and continues. And maybe, based on the spike protein, maybe it's after that even continuing to spread. That is what the experts have said, what the scientific research has said. Yes, it can shed, and yes, it is pathogenic. This causes disease. Different topic, but very relevant. Now, what we're seeing here is that ability for it to be continued to be spread, even from the injected, which is what we just showed you about the 88 vaccinated people that all caught it from a vaccinated person, who caught that from a vaccinated person, right? This spread from one to one to one is what's creating the transmission, the enhanced transmission of these highly virulent pathogens. Here's what the actual abstract says. Could some vaccines drive the evolution of more virulent pathogens? It's exactly what we're asking. You know, if this came out today, they would be fake news, censor. Who cares about the experts? CNN said it was fake news, right? The fact checkers from CNN said it was fake news. Censor those experts. Or they would just lose their funding, lose their jobs, be forced to retract the paper in a week because the editor didn't like it, despite that he's not the expert. It's ridiculous. But now that I pointed out, it'll probably start spreading and then they'll probably come back and say, here's why I failed, whatever. But it says, could some vaccines drive the evolution of more virulent pathogens? Vaccines that keep hosts alive, but still allow transmission, could thus allow very virulent strains to circulate a population. That one sentence is everything. Right now, we have injections being given to people that don't kill this thing, if you believe it's there at all. It continues to spread because we've already shown that based on the information we have from their information, it shows you that this doesn't stop transmission. They didn't even try to find out if it did. I think that's because they knew. All they had to do was get paid more. That's what the CEO of Moderna said. Just they all pay us more. We would have figured it. We would have kept studying that. Nope. They didn't care. Skip the animal trial. Rush it out. Let's get it right in their arms because it's all dangerous, except now we know that's not even true. But we're past that point, right? 0.01%. Yeah, who cares? It's because it continues to transmit. Their own research showed that is what literally creates the virulent strains in a circulating population. So do you think that was a choice? You think that was incompetence? Does it really matter? It does if we get to a point where we're like a Nuremberg trial. Yeah, it would. But right now, it really just matters that we're aware of what's actually happening. It goes on to say, here we show experimentally that immunization of chickens against Marek's disease virus enhances the fits of more virulent strains, making it possible for hyperpathogenic strains to transmit because of the injection. It says our data show that anti-disease vaccines, now again, we're in the broad sense. You should read this entire study because it's not just talking about the one thing. It says their data shows that anti-disease vaccines, like COVID-19, that do not prevent transmission, like COVID-19 one, can create conditions that promote the emergence of pathogen strains that cause more severe disease in unvaccinated hosts. Well, what do you know about that? What's that telling you? Well, that's what this is saying is the inverse reality of what they're yelling at you right now, that the vaccinated people are creating the variants that are hurting you as the unvaccinated. That's what's happening. Because right now, the COVID-19 discussion or the COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, you're not in danger. unless you're older and sickly, you're not in danger. Pretty much like any other thing that goes around the world. And remember, Swiss policy research showed you that even in regard to the danger, it's only about the general risk of your normal lifespan, right? It's the same amount of risk as if you step out your door and live your life. You could die tomorrow. So too could you die from COVID-19. This is actual data based on the, like, this is what they're showing in UK right now. Half these places, the average age of death is like 88, whereas the average age of death for the normal person is like 82. So what's really happening? The point is you are not at risk, because that's what their own information shows you. You're not. Under 25, it is 0.01% risk. You are not in danger. And yet they're injecting people with this, which creates them to, which causes their body to create more virulent strains, as this science is showing you. And then that can be more dangerous to you as the one without it. Isn't that interesting? And this is the scientific research. Now, does this one scientific study prove? No, it doesn't. But it's this. Of course, the media mainstream would scream that it proves everything if it said what they wanted. But you see, we're objective. We're honest. And what we're going to tell you is this is just one study and you should do your research. But what it really shows you is how they're hiding the other side of this conversation. All they want you to think is only the unvaccinated all day, every day. They're the bad ones. They shouldn't even be here, right? We should force them and do everything we can because they're in danger. Well, that's not what the scientific research shows. Here's another one. Scientists learn how flu viruses, virus changes so quickly. Scientists have pinpointed a mechanism. This was in 2017. That helps flu viruses mutate rapidly, which could lead to new ways to fight the flu. Because flu viruses mutate quickly, flu vaccines have to be redesigned every year, right? So how does that make sense, first of all, if what they're saying is it's because of the unvaccinated, yet they're arguing that it's most people are getting the injections, especially in places that where it's even higher than most places. At the end of the day, that narrative doesn't align with what they're saying. It does align, however, with the facts that see clearly, even in regard to the flu, as there's plenty of studies will show you, that this is an interesting topic that people have talked about long before COVID-19. Are the vaccines causing these mutations? And by and large, they say, well, obviously. The question is whether that is that you should stop giving those because that's happening, or you think the benefit of the injection is better. Well, obviously, we know where the politics lie, and they're going to keep screaming, well, no, the vaccine is always better, so keep doing it anyway. Doesn't mean that conversation's not there. They just don't, they just hide it from you today. It says it's relatively easy to make a drug that kills a virus, which is obviously apparently not, or they intentionally tried not to kill this one, or an antibody that stops a virus from propagating. But it's very hard, it says, to make one that the virus doesn't properly escape from once you start using it. That's from MIT. So again, based on the previous research and what they're saying there, the fact is it will get past it, which is then what causes these things. It says our data suggests that at some point in the future, targeting host chaperones, I know I'm mispronouncing that. This is a person who accompanies, chaperones. That's confusing. You know what I think I'm doing? I think I'm confusing this with a different study. Anyway, losing the point. Excuse me. Chaperones. Targeting host chaperones might restrict the ability of a virus to evolve and allow us to kill viruses before they become drug resistant. Okay. What this is basically telling you is that it's obvious that the vaccine is causing them to do what they're doing, whether drug resistant or find ways around it. But this is about trying to find a way to evolve what we're doing to make that stop. So just, this is clear. Before this, it was obvious this was something that was happening. It was simply the argument that it's the benefits outweigh the risk kind of thing, just like today. Well, yes, it's doing that, but we're going to keep doing this because it's safer for you this way or whatever. So how is it now fake news if this is such an open conversation, right? Well, here's an interesting video about the flu virus. And I want you to ask yourself, again, this is 2018. If the flu virus, like, again, taking the logic they're selling you today, if most people are getting the injection, yet this thing somehow mutates every single year, it would seem to suggest that it's the injections that are causing that. And so too does the science back that up. But watch this for yourself. This is interesting. It's interesting the difference between the videos they made before the COVID-19 era and where we are now.
Viruses are quick change artists. They constantly mutate, and those frequent changes make it hard for our bodies to recognize and fend off the virus. That's why we need a new flu vaccine every year. The outside of influenza A viruses are studded with two proteins called hemagglutinin and neuraminidase. There are many versions of these proteins. The combinations of each H and N give flu its name, like with the common H3N2 and H1N1 viruses that are part of every year's flu vaccine. Hemagglutinin helps the virus attach to cells in the nose, throat, or lungs, key to getting infected. If the immune system recognizes a particular hemagglutinin from either an earlier infection or vaccination, it will produce flu-fighting antibodies to block the virus from latching on.
Okay, now here's back to the common sense, right? The virus is able to do that, to do what it wants to do, unless this is happening, right? Now, sure, you can already have antibodies because your body naturally built them, which is way better than anything a vaccine can do for you. But as any honest scientist will tell you, that natural immunity is exponentially better, always has been. But by and large, unless you have that natural, it'll just walk right in, right? Doesn't mean you're necessarily going to get sick, but it'll definitely enter your body. Now, this, what it's showing you is that the flu-fighting antibodies that they're claiming in this sense are created by the injection are what are stopping it. Now, which situation seems to create the necessity for that virus to mutate? One where it just enters right in with no problem, or one where there's something that it needs to work around? Well, again, pointing to the scientific research we just read, that's clearly what's causing this, right? Presumes that is a no-brainer common sense. But I'm not asking you to trust the common sense. The common sense is something that should guide you. It's not a defining factor. They were screaming masks were common sense, right? It's pretty obvious that was ridiculous. So that's just first point. Now, but again, I want you to think about the fact that this is something that is challenging the overall narrative where we are today. That this is the reverse point. A reverse situation where it seems that more vaccinations are being given, yet they're telling you it changes every single year to the point to where they literally have to guess at new vaccines. And yes, they are guesses.
As influenza virus spreads, it gradually undergoes subtle genetic mutations. Eventually, with enough changes, defenses the body built in the past can no longer recognize current strains.
Aha! Well, what do you know about that? Well, because what that's telling you is they found a way to work around those defenses. Isn't that interesting? So is it the lack of those defenses that causes that mutation, or is it the defenses that they need to find a way to work around? You see, this is painfully obvious stuff, guys.
That's called antigenic drift, and it's why the flu vaccine gets an annual update. But every so often, influenza undergoes a sudden major...
Except the swine flu one they just showed was a complete non-pandemic, which was shown later to be a fake pandemic, which even the HHS called it.
...genetic change, resulting in a flu strain so different that most people have little or no immunity, like during the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic.
Which, by the way, if you actually look at the research even put out by Anthony Fauci, the vast majority, which actually was their terminology, the vast majority were actually in pneumonia. Now, the common point deflected here is that Fauci said it was because of masks, and that wasn't the case. They never even used the word mask in that study, but I do think that's what caused it, or at least led to that, because the same thing we're seeing today, combining pneumonia with flu and COVID, and I think that the masks are driving that. We just showed the studies where we found all the pneumonia-causing bacteria on the children's masks. Nobody cares about that outside the mainstream. But nonetheless, the point is very clear that even Fauci's research said it was so if this was mostly almost the majority, vast majority was pneumonia, why are we calling it a flu pandemic? Right? Because all they want to say is, well, it was a secondary thing. Well, wouldn't that make it a pneumonia pandemic with a secondary flu problem? Right? This is an obvious choice, whether then or whenever. Now, remember, the 1918 flu was started in Kansas. That's a very clear fact you can look up. It's on Wikipedia. The point is, it started in Kansas, was spread by the U.S. military, General Pershing. They were even aware that was happening and said, we don't care. The wartime effort was more important. That sound familiar? So they kept spreading it. Now, they argue that that was what caused all these. I'm going to get too far off on this. There's a lot about this, but this is completely dishonest. But nonetheless, the point is, all these historical events they point to, it's very rarely the reality. There's always an agenda around these things, especially today. As I've said many times in the past, history is written by the winning hand, right? So the person that overthrows that country and kills everybody and then writes the history, right? Maybe you should dig past what the government-sanctioned history says.
Pandemics can happen if a virus carried by a bird or a pig mixes and swaps genetic material with a typically human strain.
Hey, what an oversimplification, right? So that's it, just birds and pigs. That's it. No other way possible, right? Like, despite this research that they're clearly aware of, It's just to understand that right now, even the zoonotic transfer concept is completely undefined. There are plenty of experts that are arguing that's not even what's happening. But I'll leave that alone because I'm not the expert. The bottom line is they've leaned into that as absolute fact, even though there's plenty of people that have been challenging that, especially in regard to COVID-19.
Infecting people with a novel virus. That's called an antigenic shift. Sometimes an animal strain jumps directly into a human. Global health experts...
Not proven, in my opinion, and based on what plenty of experts have told me.
...experts decide the recipe for each year's flu vaccine based on predictions of which strains are most likely to be spreading the following winter.
So did you hear that correctly? Like, just so make sure we really understand what they just said. Let me play it again.
Each year's flu vaccine based on predictions of which strains are most likely to be spreading the following winter and hope the flu doesn't drift enough that season to spoil the match.
Oh, great. So every year they just guess. Let's see. What do we think is going to happen randomly next year? Right? What magical new variant that we don't even know about yet is going to happen? And let's make the vaccine based on that thing that we don't know about yet. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Of course, what they're saying, well, it could drift. Let's just take away the ridiculous edge of that and say, well, we're guessing about which one of the many different variations it could be. Okay, that's a lot better. They're guessing. Do you remember? Okay, look, go back to the picture they showed you. Where was that? They showed you, okay, right here, right? So every year they go, okay, what are we going to make it this year, right? Let's roll the dice. Let's make it H18N8 or, you know, let's combine these different. This is literally what they're telling you. Every year they guess at what it will be and they make an injection and then force it on everybody. They force children to take this for school. They force all sorts of people to take this. Elderly people in hospitals. And of course, they've even had times where they forced everybody, right? This is crazy. And based on no science other than an estimation based on people you're telling are experts. They're saying, this is what we think. So if that's the case, even if it's the most expert ever, you should have a choice. If they don't know, if they're saying we think, but nope, that's not how this works. Now we're just seeing a worldwide all-encompassing version of that applied to COVID-19. Guessing. That's what's happening now, just like everything else. From Imperial London, College London, guessing at how dangerous it is or really lying to you because they want you to be scared to where now they're guessing at things about, I mean, everything. Literally everything in this narrative is a complete. So, I mean, think about mixing and matching these different technologies. Their own experts call that unscientific. It's already happening. This is crazy.
...into a human. ...experts decide the recipe for each year's flu vaccine based on predictions of which strains are most likely to be spreading the following winter and hope the flu doesn't drift enough that season to spoil the match.
This really, to my opinion, guys, is pretty much an ongoing, nonstop human experimentation, right? For all we know, these things are being put out to be tested back and forth against what they're using. God knows what's been happening. Look at what's happening today. God knows what's actually been happening.
Seasonal flu vaccines won't protect people in a pandemic. Now scientists are working to create a universal vaccine that might one day protect against both kinds of flu evolution.
Oh, weird. Doesn't that sound familiar? Don't you mean this new revolutionary thing? Obviously, this has been a plan. This is 2018. They have the universal flu vaccine is something that's always, it's not just about flu. It's about making a vaccine, a platform, which is what they're talking about, that can work for everything. That's been the plan. And this is being forced on you now based on something they planned long before COVID-19. Pretty interesting, isn't it? What they're telling you is that we're going to find a way to circumvent this problem. Right? We are at the normal ones won't work. How do they know that exactly? Right? Think about how ridiculous that is. They're flat out telling you, not maybe, they just won't. The ones we normally use, those just won't work in a pandemic. Now, why is that? Just because they want you to use whatever they're going to give you, because that's the point. Universal, right? We should see how obviously this has always been the direction, guys. But think about how much this challenges the overarching point that they're trying to make now, right? That this thing, all you unvaxxers or unvaccinated, that's why this is changing. Well, everything they said before this challenges that whole point. Well, here's another addition to that, which we've already covered. May 10th, 2021, research suggests Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccine reprograms innate immune responses. Oh, great. So not only does this thing create the actual variants that are becoming more virulent in somebody's body because it's working past that. What they're finding, what they're telling you is the actual vaccine that virus is working around, which creates those variants, are reprogramming your immune responses. Now, what do you think that would do? Now, your immune response is different. I wonder if that changes the way that that virus reacts with your body. So we're just creating a variant-creating factory, it would seem. Researchers in the Netherlands and Germany have warned that Pfizer's biotech coronavirus disease COVID-19 vaccine induces complex reprogramming of innate immune responses that should be considered in development and use of the mRNA vaccines. Clearly they were, right? Obviously not. They just said, who cares? Shut up. We vaccine's good. Well, doesn't just add building up the information. All of this is valid in this conversation. Here's the actual study if you want to read it for yourself. Oh, by the way, remember that I've shown you this video plenty of times, but just the proof of the actual danger is pretty obvious, right? So as much as we're talking about the concept of this being created, right now what we're seeing based on the real world data is these things aren't any more dangerous. Now, that's the same point that Michael Yeadon and plenty of others have made, that yes, they are creating these variants, but it doesn't guarantee that they're going to be more dangerous enough to cause a more increased problem. But what they're telling you is that is the process, and it could be something that they're creating. It could be everything that's happening let's go back to the point about the first study, that they are shedding the more virulent strains because they're vaccinated versus the ones that weren't, which were shedding predominantly the least virulent. That's a pretty interesting point, okay? So what we're seeing here is simply evidence, so hopefully that's why we're calling them scariants, because right now, based on the real world data, they're not any more dangerous to anybody. But that doesn't mean that can't happen based on this weird-ish issue of vaccinated people and their variants, right? The point is simply that their forcing of this experimental injection is what seems to be creating the possible danger here. Doesn't seem to be there yet, but who knows? Because they're forcing an experimental, unapproved genetic thing that could cause all sorts of things. This is what people like Del Bigtree and RFK Jr. were screaming right in the beginning of this. This is a massive experiment, and we could literally be talking about the extinction of the human race because they don't know what they're doing. Or maybe they do. At the end of the day, you can see the green line. For those on the podcast, the green line, which drops completely to the bottom, which is the cases and danger and deaths and everything. That's the risk. You got the purple, which is the variant on the other side. And you can see a perfect cross off where the green completely drops off, the purple picks up. And the point is, you would be seeing cases right here. You would be seeing all sorts of danger if it was as virulent and dangerous as they keep making it out to be. It's not. Now, as Craig Kelly MP points out, this just speaks to the aggressive misinformation coming from the mainstream media, you know, spreading their aggressive, dangerous medical misconspiracy theories. Poll finds people believe there's a 38% chance of dying from the Delta strain. Right. So people out there listening to the fear mongering of the media and the government are thinking, oh, my God, if it's 40% death rate. Well, the facts are different. The data shows the Delta's case fatality rate, and it's the case fatality rate, not infection, in general, about 200 times less and even lower for people unjabbed at 0.13% and just 0.03% for unjabbed people under 50. 0.03% unjabbed 150-year-old. But yeah, but we're all, my God, Delta variant, right? Here's the study. You can read it for yourself. Here's just the main point. Delta variant showing you clearly its case fatality rate. 170,000 cases, 112 deaths, they claim 0.02%. All right? I mean, 0.02% shouldn't be, that's ridiculous. But realize case fatality rate, which is based on only confirmed cases, which, by the way, that's not even confirmed, but that's a different conversation, versus infection fatality rate, which is all-encompassing. That would include, if there were asymptomatic, it would include people that have it but don't get tested because they aren't that sick. So the bottom line, just like when Fauci used case versus infection when he should have used in front of Congress, in fact, right? Where he apologized for that because it made it look much more dangerous. I promise you that wasn't an accident. This is the same point. So if it was infection, the number would be smaller, right? The idea is you're taking a specific number, smaller, versus all the deaths that are there, right? Whereas on the other case, you could have a much larger base to compare it to. I mean, I guess it could go either way based on information, but this is an intentional sidestep in my opinion. Bottom line, whether or not that was infection fatality rate, 0.2%. Right? This is what he's telling you. This is ridiculous. Yet people are screaming, you have a 40% chance of dying. Where is that even coming from? Propaganda. Fear-mongering propaganda. Now here is I'll just play it down here. Here's a little clip for you. My brother actually sent me this. It's just fine. This is on local mainstream media. And yet even they can still point out the obvious.
It looked at 257 people known to have died with a Delta variant. 92 were unvaccinated, but 118 had had both doses. That's because the vaccine is good, but not perfect.
How stupid is that? Right. It's because good, but not perfect. Right. So we're going to ignore the fact that if this was actually more dangerous, the unvaccinated would be far, far, far more at risk based on your narrative. Right. So clearly they're screaming that the vaccinated are only getting it because of the unvaccinated. But if this was a more virulent, dangerous thing that was hurting even the vaccinated, according to their narrative, well, the unvaccinated would be even more at risk. Clearly. But the numbers don't back that up. You can clearly see that the fully vaccinated are being more affected. And according to him, that just means because it's good, but not good enough. Right? So this is when I say vaccine good at all costs. There you go. Clearly the numbers don't add up to what he just said, but vaccine good, so good make better. It's just so stupid. It's very dumb. And the way that they act about this is clearly because they have an agenda or marching orders. But here is, I forget her name now, what's her name on CNN, Dr. Lena Nguyen. Once again, screaming about how we need to force this on you, right? All the CNN guys nodding their heads. Yes, yes. Oh, of course. We need to make their lives difficult, right? Remember when that was a fake news conspiracy theory? It still is, according to some people, as they openly talk about how they need to force you dirty unvaxxers to get the thing that's not approved and experimental that is clearly causing all sorts of problems. But who cares? Force them because we are scared.
Really depends on what it is that we do at this point. So now we have this Delta variant that is much more contagious. Because it's more contagious, it's going to be even harder for us to reach herd immunity.
Note that she said contagious, by the way. That's relevant because contagious doesn't mean more dangerous. It means it spreads easier, right? So maybe that's a careful sidestep. So they can say contagious so you get scared, but the data, as we keep showing you, does not show that. That's probably why. He's just a bunch of liars. These people are all a bunch of liars or very uneducated people trying to tell you what they think of the truth, and they don't know the truth. Mostly the anchors themselves.
Going to have to vaccinate an even higher proportion of people.
Right. And I just want you to hear that fully. That's the main point right out of the
gate. So now we have to...
What she's saying is, because of these things, now we need to do 99% of the population, right? Did you not see that coming, right? I was just at a moment when we can see... By the way, here's what's funny. I didn't even notice this. Even CNN is pointing, look, there's this 47.7%, right? I mean, that's lower than what the page I was showing is. But why did Biden and Kamala Harris claim it was 62% or 57%, right? That was before they were even claiming only one shot. So they were lying to you. They were knowingly misrepresenting the percentage because they wanted you to think you were the minority. That's how criminally, these people are criminals forcing this on you. 47%. And they're telling you now, because of all this, we need to get more people injected, as half the country, more than half, has clearly said no. And they're not doing it. They've dug their feet in and they're saying no, because this is what we told you from the beginning. You've always been the majority. It's time to see past the two-party illusion and recognize what's actually happening.
Delta variant that is much more contagious. Because it's more contagious, it's going to be even harder for us to reach herd immunity. We're going to have to vaccinate an even higher proportion of people to get there. What happens then if...
Sorry, I want to add one more point there so you heard that fully. Remember, I'm not going to go over this again. I think I'm going to have a clip coming soon of the natural immunity part. Very important. I went over that more than once, but I did a real big one on it just last show. And the point is, it's very obvious that they're pretending there's no evidence to show natural immunity, despite the fact that the NIH themselves put it on their website, despite the fact that there's multiple high-level peer-reviewed scientific studies that come to that conclusion. And even the WHO put out their own thing that says up to 99% of people have lasting immunity. This is ridiculous. So that shows you, not only do they already have natural immunity, and that's the majority of the population, but then you also have the study that shows you there's multiple in regard to T cell, by the way, reactivity, but specifically in regard to antibody reactivity, that there are uninfected adults, the majority, already have that. That was done, peer-reviewed research, and nobody cares. So if the majority of people, whether they're infected or not, already had antibody reactivity, then you have a population we just saw it according to Johns Hopkins, 160 million people have been infected and recovered or whatever. So the point is that means half this country has immunity, natural, which lasts the rest of their lives, according to nature, according to the NIH. Then you add on the uninfected majority who already have antibody reactivity. The point is, these people already have natural immunity, and this is more lasting, this is better. And so all they're doing is screaming about meeting their metric for whatever they're claiming is herd immunity based on vaccination. And that is dangerous. That is dangerous misinformation and clearly reveals that there's some really alarming push that's not based on whether you're safe. I can't make that any more clear unless I went over all the natural immunity stuff again. I hope you will check the show I just did out.
We end up having another variant developing that's even more contagious, that could cause more disease, that could evade the protection of our immune system.
Right. So you just note that she said right there, this is never going to end. Right. And we could even have another one tomorrow. There could be more variant, and then we'll have to go again. Another vaccine then. Like it's a never ending cycle. If we've already gone through like seven variants out of this process, which is just ridiculous, and every single week it seems like we're got a new one. Now we're on Epsilon. Now there's the next one. Write down the Greek alphabet, just like they told us they would. They're going to keep saying it's, oh, now we need to vaccinate more. Now we need to start all over again. Now we need a booster shot. It's never going to end. You know what? Just like we said in the beginning, and were we psychic? No, we just clearly saw what their agenda was. Now, by the way, that was a guess. That was our assumption. That was our estimation of where this was going to go. But here we are. Time to start listening to the conspiracy theorists, guys. And no, I don't mean just anybody saying crazy things. I mean anybody out there that's being labeled a conspiracy theorist from the mainstream media and the CDC while they're pointing to peer-reviewed research.
And so how quickly we get this under control and which way we go depends on what we do now when it comes to vaccination, to overcoming disinformation. And what we really need to do at this point is to make vaccination the easy choice. It needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. Right now, it's kind of the opposite. Wow. It's fine. I mean, it's easy if you're unvaccinated. You can do everything you want to do anyway.
Yeah. That's called free choice, right? That's called freedom. You know, the thing that we pretend that we have in this country, but you guys are just dangling in front of everybody, right? How dare, she's totally, how are we just giving them their freedom? I mean, how can we allow that? We can't just let people choose what they want to do. That's crazy. We have to force them in by making their lives difficult. This is literally being spoken on mainstream media in the United States of America. This is crazy. And everything about this is wrong. And we all know that. Even the people who are agreeing with the injections, they know this is wrong. They feel like this is probably some secret means to an end, right? We're not really going to do this. We're going to do it just to get those crazy anti-vaxxers. And then we're going to go back to Freedom Town. That's the idiocy of the people out there that are actually believing that this is going to somehow go back to whatever you thought we had before. This has changed irrevocably our life without our choice. That should piss you off. And here she is telling you that you don't get a choice. It's never been your choice, that we can't just allow these people to not get this injection. Guess what? Just like I told you, no was never on the table, guys.
But at some point, these mandates by workplaces, by schools, I think it will be important to say, hey, you can opt out. But if you want to opt out, you have to sign these forms. You have to get twice weekly testing. Basically, we need to make getting vaccinated the easy choice. That is what it's going to take for us to actually end the pandemic.
So you understand what she said there was not about what's right or what's safe or anything. It's about coercive measures that force you to do what they want, right? It was just about keeping safe. Why not just test them, make sure they don't get sick, right? Like, because it's about whatever this end game is, getting everybody in their arms. This is what this is at all costs, despite the fact that the vast majority of this country does not need this thing. Here we are. Doesn't matter. Children, by the way, she's including. That's just a broad number. Children, everybody. Elder people, women, pregnant people, everybody. We need everybody to be forced in this position. Doesn't matter. They've already made this claim. This is alarming. And just here they are, just, you know, yeah, shaking their heads, of course.
All right, Dr. Lena Nguyen, Max Boot.
I think this.
This is obviously something that they're all in line with. And just so we're clear, guys, this is not just CNN left. This is all about the big picture. Your government, whether Trump or Biden, are adamantly pro this vaccine. You've all seen it, right? All those people that are just pretending this isn't happening and just looking to 2024, which is already happening. I'm already seeing Trump stands with 2024 flags. It's time to pay attention to what's happening right now that your government's created. The two-party illusion is going to stop you from seeing what's being built around you. Now, here is this person, FDA whistleblower, is pointing out, got sent tweets earlier, latest COVID vaccine adverse event reporting system, which you guys have been up to date from myself and the Defender, asked how long will the FDA ignore? This is a doctor, specifically a doctorate in regard to biomedical research, who somebody speaking out about this. He says, I made comments about 9,048 deaths, 183,237,046 people. or assuming 10% for underreporting, which makes it 1 in 2,000. Now, 10% is from the UK. Remember, they say it's about 10%. But HHS and Harvard said that our vaccine adverse event reporting was about less than 1%. So either way you look at it, even 10% is alarming. Now, here is, I'm not going to try to hack his last name, but a medical doctor pointing out, and you can see here, is he's internal medicine director, primary care physician, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. But it says that would be around 91,000 vaccine associated deaths in almost 200 million vaccinated. Reports, which is crazy, by the way, reports don't require evidence of causation. Dying related to vaccines is comparable, get ready for it, to dying with COVID-19 rather than dying of COVID-19. Yeah, right? Exactly. Thank you. A doctor who's willing to be honest about the reality of how the double standard applies, right? They're only giving you the like things that they can verifiably prove. That on the other side of it, COVID-19 is anything they can throw a stick at, right? If you got the sniffles and your test in 28 later days, well, sure, you're sick, right? We've seen people that get tested with a PCR test, have no symptoms, and die in a car accident, and they're labeled COVID-19 deaths. They're still doing that. They're open about that. But on the other side of it, of course, anything, people die after immediate vaccination. And we go, well, we don't know for sure. We can't prove it until we have an autopsy and this and that. And we'll never end up doing that because we're already moving past. We've already decided it's not real because we can't prove it, which means you don't know. His point is exact. And same thing we've been saying. Dying related to vaccines is comparable to dying with COVID rather than of COVID. It says need thorough investigations for causation. They're not doing that. As he says down here, until all vaccine-related deaths are thoroughly investigated, which they're not doing, as we've proven, how can the vaccine marketers claim they are safe enough to use on healthy under 30-year-olds? Good question, because they don't care. And he says, are you in the 99.99% group? Just showing you clearly the, you know, not risk of what we're talking about here. But beneath that, it says, somebody shares, this also does not take into account serious and permanent injuries, which occur at much higher rates than deaths. And I'm glad that's a very important point, right? All we're doing is comparing the deaths to different deaths. Like, there is an exponential amount. It's shocking how many reports, hundreds of thousands, more than half a million of reports in the United States about serious injury, about problems that just get kind of wiped away because, well, we don't know for sure. They're not even monitoring. They're not even caring about the death number, which is crazy. Why would they care about everything else? Well, as Craig M. WaxDO points out, in my opinion, we should stop the vaccine until we can investigate over 9,000 deaths and 400,000 adverse events potentially related to this novel experimental technology. And remember, he said potential, right? He's right. We don't know. They are potential. But the fact is, nobody's actually researching this stuff. A solution putting lives at risk is a problem, not a solution. Exactly. And he's referencing what this doctor said. And he follows up and says, the fact is there is little to no benefit to further vaccines in most areas as a vast majority of the high-risk population is already immune from the vaccine or natural immunity. Exactly. Despite that, I wouldn't deprive unvaccinated high-risk persons the option to be vaccinated if desired. Oh my God. An actually honest doctor who's willing to do with their patients. I mean, the point is, it's always been your choice, guys. And all these doctors that are just towing the line are bad people, in my opinion, or completely snowed. But of course, we, you know, trust the science, right? It's all about trusting the science. Of course, right? We got to do what this is the science. What they're showing you is the reality. But of course, more so than in the last month alone, I've seen more examples of this kind of illusion shattering choice where they're the ones screaming, trust the science. But the moment it doesn't work for them, they no longer trust the science. Isn't that funny? Now, I'm not even actually saying that what the CDC is saying is the science. What I'm saying is they're telling you it's a science and telling you, you have to trust that science. But then when the CDC says, no, 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 you could take your mask off. Gavin Newsom says, no, 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 we don't like what you just said. So we're not going to trust we're going to do what we want. Okay. So what happened to trusting the science? Are they going to be censored? Obviously not. So you can see how arbitrary and illusory this all is. You're being deceived, guys. California, as it says, is once again diverging from the CDC. It's just clownishly ridiculous. We're being censored. We're losing revenue because they tell us we can't say what Gavin Newsom literally just, or what specifically we can't do what Gavin Newsom literally just did on a statewide action. Or how about the challenge with WHO? We're censored for that across the board, but yet they can keep lockdowns going despite them saying you shouldn't keep lockdowns going. This is pathetic. As I said, but trust the science, right? I guess only insofar as it aligns with the agenda. But even then, the science never actually said what they aggressively claimed. It just reveals the arbitrary, false, and dishonest nature of the whole damn thing. Meanwhile, these children are continuing to suffer. These children are continuing to suffer the obscenely high, I mean, let's just pick the most obvious one we just talked about, the obscenely high carbon dioxide rates that a recent study just found. And you're right, I'm going to grab it because it's important to show this again, because this is a peer-reviewed, high-level scientific study. Now, we've gone over way more than just carbon dioxide. But just so people that are really concerned, like people that are just going to say conspiracy theory when you say that they don't have a statistically significant effect on transmission, which was what all the peer-reviewed science has said, we'll just put that aside. How about just the most recent June 30th, 2021's peer-reviewed science of a random controlled trial that found, very specifically, that the carbon dioxide in these children's masks is dangerous, unacceptable, in fact. Understand that 0.2% by volume carbon dioxide, about 200 parts per million, is the limit for closed rooms, according to the Durham Federal Environmental Office. And they claim that level is unacceptable. Well, you know what they found? Guess what? They show that the value of the child with the lowest carbon dioxide level was threefold greater. That's the child with the lowest carbon level, three times higher than the 0.2 by volume. So the lowest child in the entire group, meaning every single one of them had too much carbon dioxide in their masks. But then guess what? The youngest child with the highest value was 7 years old. And guess what he had? 25,000 parts per million. Remember, 2,000 is the top. Anything higher is unacceptable. 2,000 to 25,000 this child is wearing for 270 minutes a day. Totally okay, though, right? Because there's no big deal with that. These are the people forcing this in. This is the science. Trust the science. This is the scientific research. This is one of the most recent ones from peer-reviewed study that is a random controlled trial. It's everything they say they're supposed to listen to. Here's Gavin Newsom going, screw that. We're going to force that thing on your child's face because politics, because agenda. You are hurting children. I hope these people continue to get held accountable, to actually or get held accountable. I hope these people get sent to jail for the actions they're taking that they're the diametric opposite of what should be happening, the opposite of what the scientific research shows. Pains me. But back over onto the other discussion, as James Lyons Weiler's pointing out, or this person first says, I'm not understanding the new CDC school guidelines. This is still the mask. Kids don't need masks to protect them from COVID since it's so low risk to them, which is valid. But there's a lot of other reasons too. But it says, are the masks to protect vaccinated teachers? Isn't that what the vaccine is for? Masks are not normal. Kids need normal. Right. So think about how incredibly just wrong in a lot of ways this is. First of all, this clearly suggests that they're masking children who aren't at risk to protect themselves. So now the children are this barrier between these teachers and their fear of COVID-19. That means they're terrible people. That's not how this is supposed to go. You're supposed to protect them, you cowards. But now we're forcing the vaccines and masks on them because we're terrified of something that's not really dangerous. But at the end of the day, these teachers are vaccinated. They're told they're protected, right? That's the whole point. So you're forcing these masks on children that don't need it, even though they've been protected. So what the hell is going on? It's all about narrative and agenda. And as James Lyons Weiler, PhD, points out, after the science is out that shows the masks do nothing. Right, because he's an anti-science, anti-vaxxer, right? Nope. Very highly credentialed expert in the scientific field, as well as somebody who is adamant about the fact that it's about the data. He's telling you the masks don't do because he's read the scientific research like I have. CDC still invokes their magical properties and recommends instilling fear, provoking bullying among vaxxed and unvaxxed kids, stress between parents and teachers. Masks are a weapon of coercion for an experimental vax. Well said. Completely agree. Now, going back over to the injection discussion. Oh, by the way, James Lyons Weiler reached out to me. I'm hoping he wanted to have me on the show about something in regard to testing. I'm hoping it wasn't too late to respond to him. That would be great to speak to him again. Family demand answers as father of two, 57 years old, fights for his life on a ventilator, because that still makes sense, with potentially deadly Guillain-Barré syndrome after having AstraZeneca COVID jab. Vaccine? Then he gets Guillain-Barré syndrome. You know, a classic thing we see from vaccines in the past. Well, oh, actually, I guess these are out of order. There we go. So what I want to show you, first of all, is that this continues to happen. people are suffering. And all they can do is act like you're crazy for pretending this has anything to do with this experimental, unapproved genetic manipulation. Totally makes sense. But the sad reality is they are pointing to something that is already verified, right? And yet the mainstream media just can't get past that. Not sure. We don't know for sure. We're still researching. Guys, this is clear. As they report from the Swiss Policy Research, Guillain-Barré syndrome after COVID vaccination, they talk about the possibility. But remember, on the update, and I'll show you the science next, on June 10th, the German Paul Ehrlich Institute confirmed that Guillain-Barré syndrome occurred, quote, at an increased rate after AstraZeneca vaccinations and might constitute a new risk signal. But nobody cares about that. It's in German, but you can read it for yourself if you can read German. The point is, guys, this is ongoing. It's nonstop. And everybody just keeps passing it off, saying, we don't know for sure. Can't, it's rare. It's rare. It's rare. It's rare. That one's rare. This one's rare. That one's rare. That one's rare. All those are rare. That whole pile over there, that's all rare. It's all rare, right? And all of it doesn't matter as long as you keep calling it rare and saying we can't prove it's all safe and effective, right? Just keep saying it. And we're already on to the next point here. Right. So they're screaming that all these things are happening when reality is these are seemingly obvious reactions to injections that are then being shown to be able to shed and spread and all the different things we're talking about, which just continues to create an exponential problem that I think is being labeled long COVID and plenty of other things. In fact, just COVID itself. But as we're talking about the variant creation, right, the whole idea, we're already on the next one. In case you haven't seen that, by the way, we're already screaming about the Delta, Delta, Delta. We're already talking about Epsilon, which, by the way, in case you didn't know, is the next letter in the Greek alphabet. We're just going right down the line. COVID-19 variants, what you need to know about the Epsilon variant. The point is, they don't know. Read it for yourself. Then what do you need to know is that we have no idea, but you should be scared. Read it all for yourself. Every other one before this. Possibly more virulent than it could possibly kill your whole family. It's possible that possible things could be possibly happening. That's what's happening. It's nothing but scary, just as plenty of others have called it, scariance. They're scaring you into feeling like you're still in danger, so you jump out and get the thing that you've already decided to say no to more than once. Here they are. What you need to know about the Epsilon variant and its risks. But the reality here, in my opinion, guys, is that this is not something you currently should be concerned about, that the information does not show that, and that these things are being created, in my opinion, from the mass injection of people that don't need this thing and causing these things to spread, just like the science showed in the beginning. But on top of that, as this Daily Mail article points out, can long COVID be cured by a monthly dose of the vaccine? Now it's gone from a booster in 12 months to, well, maybe a monthly one, right? Because all of these people, long COVID, we're going to start giving a monthly dose of this injection. A major British trial is already about to find out. After many sufferers said they'd recovered following the jab. Oh, wait. So they got an injection. They had problems that they associated with COVID-19. I wonder if that could be something else causing that. But we're going to go ahead and just keep jamming them with that dangerous, experimental, unapproved thing because that might help. Maybe. Let's find out. Right? Maybe we should think in another direction instead of just keep jamming in the emergency unapproved thing next level. Now we'll do another emergency authorization for the next one, another booster. I mean, these are things that haven't even been authorized even under emergency authorization. The booster still hasn't been, but we're stepping three steps down the line when we haven't even proven this to be safe and effective, despite that they keep screaming that. By definition, an emergency authorized injection has not been proven to be safe and effective. Look it up for yourself. I've done whole shows on this. The very definition of unapproved and emergency authorization will tell you point blank. It's because we have not verified the safety of these things. And it's because we think that the safety or that the benefit could outweigh the risk of the current situation. It's all about assumption. But they'll keep screaming safe and effective, even though those are the two things that you need to meet in order to be approved. So if it was the case, they'd be approved. They're not doing that. Who knows if it'll happen? I'm very convinced that what we're seeing is everything being repackaged as COVID-19, including the things being caused by the spike protein, the things being caused by the mRNA that does integrate into your DNA, like we just showed you with the scientific research, as well as the nanoparticles themselves, the lipid nanoparticles encapsulating the instructions to create the spike protein, which, by the way, by themselves create all the same problems. Must be a coincidence, right? They also create inflammation. They also can collect inside your reproductive organs. They also can integrate into your DNA according to their own research on Nature, on plenty of things we've already shown you. I could rattle the stuff off for hours. All of that is fake news, according to the mainstream media, despite it being from reputable, peer-reviewed scientific research. But it says more than a million Britons are living with lingering problems after the injection, or excuse me, after coronavirus. British scientists to explore giving long COVID patients monthly doses of the vaccine. Now, the point here that they, of course, very carefully step around is whether or not the people that you're saying have this have gotten the injection first. But they kind of let that out when they were discussed this across the thing. It says another concern has cast a shadow, the rising diagnosis of long COVID. Now, remember how ridiculous that is. Because if you actually look at their own research, their own discussion of what constitutes some kind of a long-term problem, we're talking years. But somehow we're jamming in long COVID after a month later, right? Oh my God, long-term side effects. No, that's not long-term side effects. This is immediate things that are being caused months after they're being deemed something else. But it says the debilitating condition that leaves sufferers battling symptoms for months, right? Long-term. More than a million Britons are said to be living with lingering problems. Don't you love how I heard somewhere on the phone from a guy who talked to my neighbor that said somebody's lingering problems. Like, that's great journalism. They're said to be dealing with this. Woo! From breathlessness to brain fog. What does that sound like to you? That sounds like exactly what we're hearing in regard to the injections. That figure could double by the end of the summer, say experts. Why could it double? Well, who cares? It just might double. Like, I would love to see why there. Well, it could double because we're seeing it happen and it's continuing to grow. So it could double. That's all they need. Why would it double? This is an assumption based on what they think is happening. But it says in a world first, British scientists are set to explore giving long COVID. Oh, in a world first, I get it. British scientists are set to explore long COVID patients monthly doses of the COVID vaccine in an effort to combat the chronic condition, right? The chronic condition that we've yet to even really define is in fact coming from COVID. You understand this has not been scientifically researched. Could it be psychosomatic? Yes. Could it not be there at all? Yes. Because all they're doing is saying you got stuff. Oh, you had COVID. Well, clearly long COVID. It's the same thing they're doing with MISC, which clearly seems to be also a side effect of the injection. My opinion, based on the scientific research, but the point is, no one has proven that this is connected. We're just assuming because it happened afterward. That's correlation. That's not causation. This is unscientific at its core. But here they go on to say they're in an effort to combat the condition we've already decided is there. The first stage of the study was given the green light. Later this year, 40 long COVID sufferers will be offered at least two extra jabs. This is Dr. Strain said many saw a dramatic improvement within days of the jab. Their fatigue disappeared. They were able to walk further without feeling breathless. In an earlier study, we saw this lasted for a month after the first dose, but then the symptoms returned. Now, same thing they say after the second jab. So again, I offer, is this because of some long thing from something they dealt with before this? Did they even have it based on a PCR test that said they did? Who knows? Is it even really there? Who knows? The point is that what we're staring at is an example of how after the injection, they later get sick, right? I mean, you could frame this however you want, but they later got sick after the first dose, as they said. Then the same thing happened in the second. They later got sick. Now, you could associate that with COVID if you want, or you could associate it with the thing that seems most obvious. That's your choice. But it says these vary, but the most common include shortness of breath, muscle aches, and problems. That sounds like everything we're seeing with the injection. Doesn't it? Doesn't mean it's proven, but it seems much more associated with what we're seeing, the common effects of the injection that just never go away. Look, ask Jeremy Dore. He's been having it for months after he got these injections. Now, it says doctors have struggled to treat the condition, despite the fact that in the past year, the NHS has opened more than 80 specialist clinics to treat the rising number of patients. Right. So something we've barely proven even is happening at a time when there's no way we're not even close to long term. Yet somehow the NHS has opened 80 specialist clinics to deal with this. How about it's very obvious to me that they're opening things to deal with what they clearly see as a problem after vaccination? 80 specialist clinics to just dump this in COVID long. They haven't even proven this, yet they've opened 80 specialist clinics. Give me a break. It says the exact causes and processes that result in the majority recovered from COVID infection fully, while others do not, are still unknown. Exactly. We don't know is the point. We don't know, but we're guessing and opening 80 specialist clinics over the last year because we knew it was going to happen. You realize how long it would take to open 80 clinics? I mean, I'm sure they could do it pretty fast. The point is they did this. They probably started opening and setting these up before we were even remotely in some kind of long-term situation. What does that tell you? Either they knew it was going to happen or it's about something other than long COVID. But it says many even argue that it's simply a collection of syndromes. So we haven't even defined this yet. There's plenty of their experts going, I don't even think this is the thing. Clearly, you're being deceived. We're all being deceived. It says, but recent research has suggested, scientific, that COVID vaccines may be a highly effective treatment. You mean for the thing it's supposed to work on? I'm glad it's suggested to be maybe effective. That's fantastic stuff. But over here, we've got natural immunity that works pretty clearly 99% of the time for the rest of your life. But yeah, take the thing that suggests it could be effective for something that we don't even know is happening. Who is buying this stuff? Now, finally, to quickly wrap this up, I want you guys to see the emergency authorization part. And I'm going to revisit this. I'm going to quickly go over this. I'm going to revisit this exact same information as we get closer. I just want you guys to see, right? Based on the fact that these variants that are happening or not, the alleged variants that I think if they are there are being created by the injections based on the science, are what's going to be used to keep this going. That's what I was saying earlier. The timing of it all, it can't be missed. Suddenly we've got three variants simultaneously hurting everybody. They're going to say, well, we're clearly still in an emergency, aren't we? Well, is it actually there? Are people dying? Are we in danger? Or are we just relentlessly being battered with propaganda about how these things are there? Really ask yourself that question if you believe in all this. Think about what's actually happening. Now, this is the state of emergency that is keeping this going under Section 319 of the Public Health Service Act. Now, every 90 days, they're required to renew this, just like with other things in the past. You know, the supposed temporary thing that lasts forever, like the Patriot Act. And now they're continuing to keep this going every 90 days. Now ask yourself, do you feel we're in an emergency right now? Now, sure, that's not to say that people aren't dying. There's not something happening. People die every day. But are we in an emergency? And what actually constitutes an emergency? Well, the interesting part about it is now that this has been a public health emergency declared by the HHS, well, they define it as whatever they want it to be, which I'm going to show you as we go through this, which, by the way, was amendments added to this in recent years. And that shows you, in my opinion, that this was created, that they were setting the table for probably what we're dealing with now in a way to say, well, here is a way to give carte blanche to a group that just arbitrarily decides based on their own factors whether or not this can go on forever. Does that sound like a democracy? Does it sound like any kind of representative government, or does it sound like an authoritarian situation? Right? Or you could argue that that is necessity because we're all in so much danger. Well, then you're just not paying attention. We're not. So I'm going to go through this and show you, just so you can see right here. The first one, January 31st, Alex Azar, determination that a public health emergency exists nationwide as a result of COVID-19. Right. And that's what this is right here. Determination of a public health threat. Now you'll see that it says as a result of confirmed cases, which, by the way, confirmed is a very generous word using the PCR test, but the point is they're claiming it's because of cases, right? Confirmed cases, they claim. That's why we did this, of COVID-19, right? That's very important. Then we jump up here. Here's where we are now. April 15th was the last one, which puts us exactly to July 14th for the 90 days. Renewal of the determination that a public health, and that's important too. The determination is the point, because HHS is now the one that's an important term that they even make clear in this. The determination is being given by the HHS, and they are the ones that continue going forward. It's their prerogative based on their determination that the public health emergency exists nationwide as a result of continued consequences of the coronavirus. You see how this shifted? And here's that one. This says now the determination. See? Oh, excuse me. This one here, the renewal, excuse me, of determination that a public health emergency exists. Now, remember, this was cases. Here it is now. This is the next one. This is the one they did April 15th. And it says, as a result of continued consequences. Okay, so you could literally argue that the continued consequences of something like they're claiming happened could last forever. They could forever go, well, people are still struggling. There's still long COVID. There's still all sorts of problems. There's a new variant over here. There's a continued consequences that we're... So the emergency is not really the emergency anymore, and it really wasn't to begin with. But this is like saying that, you know, that since 1918, we've never gotten away from the variant, so this emergency continues forever. right? This is where this is going. So they're going to continue to push this emergency based on the, quote, continued consequences. Now, that's a that is a bastardization of what this was. Now, it says because it pursuant to the authority vested in me, who is the HHS head, and this is Alex Azar at the time, under Section 319 of the Public Health Service Act. Okay, so the point being is now we're jumping to where we are today. And we are one day away. Actually, I'll jump to this on the end, just for people that, weirdly enough, I don't know why, I got a lot of comments, people saying, you're wrong, that's not correct, it's not the exact, just, I don't know where I even found this site, but it just, you just enter in, so basically, what is exactly 90 days from April 15th? That is exactly July 14th. Not 3 months, exactly, because that's what the point was making before, you have 30 and 31, you know, whatever. Exactly 90 days is July 14th, that's this coming, whatever day that is, that this is the 14th, we're in the 11th today. So just be clear about that. This is the day where they have to. And the point they made before is if they do not renew it on the 14th, which they've done already. That's the other point that I actually was going to show you. They've done it throughout this process where they've had an emergency declared. And then it was like 95 days later, they did it. So there were a 5-day period where they were breaking the law, where they were not in a technical emergency and they were still giving vaccines to people, injections, even though they need that emergency authorization for that to actually be legal. Who cares about that, right, though? Because the law is a means to an end for these kind of criminal governments. So my point is, if we go a moment past that, we need to be screaming that they are breaking the law. On top of that, we need to make it very clear that we are not at a point of emergency based on every metric, even though, as I point out, well, I will point out, it's not really about metrics anymore. That's been handed off. The HHS is now in control. And as you'll see, they have amended this to make it the way it is, it's just up to them. Do you think they're going to relinquish that power? Maybe we're staring at our new government here, the HHS, right? It's like, I'm being facetious, but the point is, this is where it's going. Here is the Public Health Service Act, Section 319. Now, this is specifically 319. The whole thing is right here, and I'll show you this in a second. And this is the whole Public Health Act, 319 being a part of that. This is the Public Health Service Act. But as it says, what the law does. Section 319 authorizes the secretary. Actually, you know what? I forgot. I'm gonna skip past this by and large because I'm gonna revisit this closer to the July 14th. I'll include this. You guys can read it for yourself. The bottom line is the takeaway is that this gives the HHS basically unbridled power to just continue the state of emergency, which gives them power to dictate funds, to dictate research, to dictate a lot of very alarming things. And as again, it's just simply when they decide it no longer exists. It's up to them. Now, real quickly, here are some points in this that I think are important. It says, any such determination of public health emergency terminates upon the secretary's declaring that the emergency no longer exists or upon the expiration of the 90-day period, right? Which, and then it says, on the date on which the determination is made by the secretary, whichever occurs first, right? So they have the power to continue to push this. And it says it ends when they decide it does. And you can read this for yourself. I'll go through it more in depth as we go forward in one of the next days, probably on the 14th, because it makes it pretty damn clear that it's just arbitrary based on their opinion. And that's what's been changed. The choice is based on their opinion, but it goes on a public health emergency fund. And this is a really important one. This gives them all sorts of funds coming from your pocket, your tax dollars, to do what? A bunch of stuff. But most importantly, guess what? In the middle of this, to facilitate and accelerate, as applicable, advanced research and development of security countermeasures. Security countermeasures? Sure, we're going to make that only about COVID-19, but how about we start talking about the, you know, crossover to the pandemic, the cyber pandemic, or the attacks on vaccine infrastructure, or the fact that we're talking about white supremacies, you know, all of these crossovers, domestic terrorism, misinformation for vaccines being deemed domestic terrorism, right? You can see that security measures become a little more interesting. And it says qualified countermeasures. Of course, we could talk about there. Oh, we're just talking about fighting the virus, right? It's war on the virus. What about things that talk about things we just mentioned? Countermeasures. But it's, and by the way, it also goes into talking about arresting people. They have the right to arrest people, to enforce certain laws, in to conduct investigations, right? This is alarming. But it says that they are applicable to the public health emergency or potential public health emergency under paragraph 1 and strengthen biosurveillance capabilities. Why do you think they're surveilling everybody in the country right now? They just told you we have the right to know every single American's vaccine status. That's why they know that you're not injected. It's right there. Did they ask you about this? Do you think this was voted on outside of your completely broken Congress? No, you don't have a say in this stuff. Then, and this is the best part. F, you know, carry out other activities as the secretary determines applicable or appropriate. Why not just make the entire bill whatever the secretary deems appropriate? If you're going to add a caveat that says just do whatever you want, why even make a bill? Because it's about making you think that this is appropriate. Carry out other activities. God knows what that could possibly mean right now, as the secretary deems appropriate. Remember, these are the people that we're pointing to. Just before this in Trump's administration, we know that, for crying out loud, I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden, Emergent Biosolutions, Robert Kadlec, was the secretary for preparedness response. Right? These are now, it's just a handing off of the problem here. Now, anyway, bottom line is, guys, vaccine tracking and distribution, tracking information about this is all where it's going. This is a problem. And all of this is going to continue, I can promise you, past the 14th. We need to make a big stink about this and stand up and scream about how this is not appropriate, that we are not in a state of emergency. We are not in danger. Only people that are in specific situations are, and we're applying that to everybody. And that's even if you believe the narrative. Right? Understand, that's their narrative. They're telling you based on the data that only these groups over here are in danger, yet everyone needs to be injected because whatever. Because understand, there's even more in point to that and ask whether those people themselves are even in danger, or whether that's just being miscategorized as something else and being called COVID-19, or whether it's not even, there's so many possibilities based on things that I've yet to see proven. But at the end of the day, what we can prove, they're lying to you. 100%. I think that needs to be very clear by now, but I'm going to leave it there for the day, guys. We'll be following up with plenty more in the days to come, but I want to actually leave you with a video that really upset me, to be honest, because of the contradiction. I mean, it's the same thing I was talking about with Robert about how insulting it is that we can see quite clearly that the settlements are illegal, that they're violating international law. The UN can say that. It's very clear from the Geneva Convention. Nobody cares. Politics, they scream political statements and you're a racist, and suddenly the facts and the law no longer matter. It's just that obvious. But this video is the same idea in regard to how they're saying, no, you can't be around your child, right? You have a newborn baby, only one parent can come in the room. Oh, they're sick? Oh, no, you can't come in here. Yet you can jam pack a stadium or Wimbledon can completely happen. No big deal. We won't even require these professionals to be injected, even though we do everybody else. And you know, I'm not saying they should. What I'm saying is these are contradictions that show you the illusory nature of this, that it's choice. You're all going to die if this happens, but oh, we want this to happen, this sport game to happen. So, okay. So, you know, just come do it. We don't care. Not for you though, but oh, you over there, you can't see your child. This is what's happening today. And it's bothered. It should upset you that it's so flagrantly obvious that they are so obviously lying and deceiving and using this to hurt you and your family. It's upsetting. Now I'm actually going to play it here on the screen because it looks like I didn't download it, but let's watch this before we wrap it up. It's just so frustrating. How do you explain that? Right? How do you explain that woman being told she can't see her dying grandmother? Not even one person. Meanwhile, this is, we're allowed to have these massive, and the point is that it all should be allowed. They should not have the right to tell you this. But here we are, watching it happen. Thank you for being here today, as always. Thank you for continuing to fight with me and fighting with everybody else that's out there putting their careers in the line, putting their livelihood on the line to bring the truth to you. Now, remember, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're fully aware of everything that's happening. They still may be piecing it all together, right? I mean, it's actually interesting, by the way, like even someone like Robert Malone, I've been watching some of his Twitter discussions, and he's very slowly seeing, like talking about bots and trolls the other day. And I'm going like, okay, these people are getting like a rapid course in the stuff that we've been seeing for a long time. And you can't even fault some of them for not being, you know, they've been battered with propaganda their entire lives. Now, I'm not saying that means that anybody who says that is automatically, you know, getting a pass. There's plenty of people out there that I do agree are somebody that are giving you slightly truthful information in order to deviate you in a wrong direction. But that's all that ultimately comes back to you. We all know people can lie. It's a matter of you considering it, questioning everything, being open to everything, and deciding for yourself. You know, saying, well, I'm going to look that up. Oh, it looks like that one is correct. So whether or not this is a shill lying to me, there's still information coming out. It's about how you are showing discernment. But nonetheless, my point was that it's interesting to watch how a lot of these people who are, you know, being forced into that spotlight because they came out and said something that was unacceptable, but true. And you're just watching them kind of slowly wake up to the reality. And it's interesting to see because there's a lot of things that people are very afraid to talk about that, you know, we never shy away from. I'm not afraid to talk about something that people think is conspiracy theory. I think it shows a level of cowardice to not talk about something because they tell you you're not allowed to. That's exactly what we're all about here. So thank you for helping me do that. And I do believe we're waking people up, including people like them. We're reaching people like these experts in the world. That's a powerful thing to see. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. I really should get this in line before I end the show. I love you guys. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
What if the experts are wrong? What if quarantining the healthy doesn't actually save lives? What if wearing a mask in public is not effective?
If you do not have a mask, you cannot ride public transportation, sir.
My name is Dr. Jeff Barkey, and I'm here representing thousands of physicians across the country whose voices are being silenced because we don't agree with the mainstream media and the experts who are telling us what to do.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
Never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined the healthy. Never in the history of this great republic have we told churchgoers that it's illegal for you to exercise your First Amendment right of freedom of religion. Never in the history of this country have we been told that you can't go to church because it's non-essential, but you can go get an abortion because that's essential. Never before in our country have we let criminals out of jail, but we've told you you can't exercise your Second Amendment right and protect yourself by purchasing a firearm. When liquor stores are deemed essential, but your businesses are deemed non-essential, there's something wrong going on.
We cut off people's utilities this week and made them pay what could have been their last check to us to turn their lights on in a global health pandemic. But you don't care about that. You didn't want to meet.
This booklet, the Declaration of Independence and our U.S. Constitution, was never designed to restrain the people. It was designed to restrain the government. We're realizing that the fatality rate of this virus is in the ballpark of a bad seasonal influenza. Do not let your voices be silenced. We will see eventually that this government-imposed cure is going to be worse than the virus itself.
Stop. Help, man, this shit ain't right, bro.
But But what's happening now as unemployment reaches 20 to 30 million people is those folks are now becoming dependent on the government. And what government dependency causes is a larger, more tyrannical government.
Look, he ain't even do nothing. He ain't even do nothing. He ain't even do nothing, look. He ain't even do nothing.
We the people want to put our government back in its place. We want a small representative government, not a large tyrannical government. I'm here representing thousands of physicians around the country whose voices must be heard.
We've never seen where we quarantine the healthy, where you take those without disease and without symptoms and lock them in your home.
So you guys are asking me to leave the store for not wearing a mask when I have a medical condition, even though yours is pulled under your nose.
There's a note that says
I don't have to bring a note, and yours isn't even on.
Just do whatever you want to do.
It's America, right?
Listen.
I cannot wear a mask.
Get out.
Do not let your voices be silenced.